Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who, this is the Apostle Paul, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, everybody said boldness, and access with confidence. Everybody said access, and everybody said confidence. Confidence. Say that again. Confidence. Confidence by the faith of him. Now, I see something here that seems to be opposite of each other, and that's what attracted me to this. The confidence here, confidence, you know, I really have faith in this. I know this. It is set in order. But then in verse 8, he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. And so this morning, I just want to minister for a little while. And if you'll help me today, I believe the Lord will speak to hearts. I just have felt this in my heart. I want to preach about confidence when you feel like the least. Confidence when you feel like the least. Come on, let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we need you right now. We need the Word of God. We need the anointing of your Word. We need your presence. We need your victory in us. God, help us right now and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated this morning. I think that I understand well enough that every one of us here this morning deal with a lack of confidence and self-esteem. If you don't, you got a different set of problems to deal with. But I think everybody deals with a lack of confidence, and we in our heart of hearts feel insecure, and we don't feel like we measure up. I think that probably it's because we know ourselves better than anybody else. We understand our life. We understand our thought process. We remember things and all of that about our life. And when you talk about confidence or lack of confidence, feeling as though you are the least, dealing with it in the right way is always going to lead you to victory and to more and more confidence. In the verses that I read this morning, we've got a bit of conflicting thoughts here that don't seem to go together. Paul said, I am the least of all saints. Now, this is the man that wrote most of the New Testament. This is how he felt about himself. And when we look at ourselves, oftentimes we see our failures and we see our shortcomings, and we have a tendency to look around and say, everybody else has got it better than I do, and everything is much better than what I could ever do for myself. And that is a very dangerous place to be. Because it is not the truth when you're serving God. And he said unto me, who am the least of all, less than the least. And so Paul talks about this. And then a little bit later in the verse there, he talks about his calling. And he saw his calling as something that was much bigger than his confidence. His calling was much bigger than his confidence. And when we look at it here, he says that I was called to preach, that I should preach among the Gentiles. And we'll just say there that I should preach. And Paul's calling here was so much bigger than his confidence level. And when we look at the calling here this morning, he was called to preach, which, of course, is a tremendous responsibility and has far-reaching effects upon the lives of people. And I remember when I accepted the call to preach, and I remember the huge question mark that was before me when the Lord called me to preach. And I just remember the feeling of total lack of confidence and ability, and felt the responsibility of it. Some people want to preach and others run from it. And I think those that run from it are probably much more wise than those that want to do it. Amen. Because there is a tremendous pressure and a tremendous responsibility that goes with preaching. It is not just a matter of getting in the pulpit and preaching, amen, and telling others what to do. But the essence of it is that, one will preach to others. That's what preaching is, that we preach to others and we tell them what they're supposed to do. And Paul, when he was called to preach, he naturally looked at himself. And when he looked at himself, he said, I've killed Christians. I've been involved in murdering Christians, the children of God, the saints of God. And you want me to stand in a pulpit and you want me to tell others what to do. I'll tell you, you talk about a lack of confidence this morning. Paul had a lack of confidence, and there was a big, big question mark in front of him, and he had that great offense hanging over his head. You know what? When you first give your life to God, others are going to say, they're going to tell you after a period of time, especially when you first give your life to God and you're so excited and you tell others about the Lord, and you tell them about living for God and all of that, and all of a sudden your friends come along and they say, yeah, but I know what you used to be like. I know what you used to be like. And it was that way with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a question mark in the congregations that he went to preach to. At the very beginning, they said, oh, wait a minute, this is the guy that killed Christians. This is the man that persecuted us, and we're letting him in our church. We're going to let him get in the pulpit and preach. Amen. Well, praise God. Some are really excited about going to Sunday school this morning. God bless them. Amen. Hope they have a good time, at least as good a time as we're going to have over here. Praise God. Maybe we ought to pray for the little guy. Amen. But here he was. You know, not only when I first gave my life to God, others were like, I'm not really sure you're going to stick with this. I'm not really sure that you've got what it takes to live for God. And there was criticism and condemnation. And all of us here this morning, or most of you here this morning, have experienced that. And what it does is it tends to take away your confidence. It tends to say to you in the deepest recesses of your mind and your heart, you know what? I remember what I used to do. And maybe I'm not worthy of this. And maybe this calling is too high for me. Paul said, I was called to preach. And then he goes on. I'm going to skip around a little bit to kind of get it in the right frame of mind. He says, here is what I am supposed to preach. If it was just a simple matter of John the Baptist message, and every time you got up, you got to preach the same message. But now, the call of God upon his life was to instruct churches and to get into the deep things of God, into the meat of the Word of God. Let's read it here. He said, I was called to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's pretty big. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Amen. The things that have been hidden in God from the beginning of the world, God spoke to me and told me that I'm supposed to preach to people and tell them these things. And here I am. I've got this offense hanging over my head. Here I am, and I feel so unworthy. I feel like I am below the least of the least saints. Amen. And the Bible tells us, and Paul actually wrote this and said we should esteem each other better than ourselves. A lot of folks have a problem with that, but Paul didn't have a problem with that because he was not perfect. Some feel like they're perfect, but God help us if we ever feel like we've reached and attained to the heights, because we haven't. If we'll take stock of it, we will find very quickly that we would be lost without God, hopelessly lost without God, if it was not for Him coming and touching our lives. Amen? So the wisdom that was hidden from the beginning. And then he says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when we look at it here this morning, one area is wisdom and the other area is knowledge. One is wisdom of the scriptures. Paul said, I'm going to give the mystery that has been the fellowship of the mystery and things that have been hidden from the beginning of the world. I'm supposed to declare and exhort, and I'm supposed to teach and minister these basic truths and these deep truths to people. And then he goes on and says, the Lord showed me here that this calling is even higher than that. And that calling is that the principalities and powers that are in this world are going to know and they're going to feel the power of the Word of God that is ministered by you. Paul had wisdom. He had been schooled in the old ways, and he knew it very well. He had it all up here. He had a zeal for God, which was in his heart, and God saw his heart. I mean, it wasn't right. He was killing people, but there was a zeal for God. And just like you and I, when we were out in the world, I probably won't minister to everybody here this morning, but some of us understand this. We were schooled in the old ways. We knew what it was to do the talk and to walk the walk of the world and the language and the wisdom, if you please, that was in the world. We had it figured out. We were moving along, and we were just going in that direction. We knew how to steal. We knew how to lie. We knew how to deceive. And we had it all figured out. Amen. And if we were to look at ourselves in light of Paul, which is what I really want to do this morning, we would understand that both of us, Paul and you and I, we were as lost could be. One was out in the world and the other one was in the church. Amen. One was dealing with a pride in one way, and the other was dealing with pride in a different way. But you know what? We can be lost. We can be lost in either places. And then here we are. We understand where we come from, and God calls us to preach something that is totally, completely different than what we have been raised to understand. We have been called into the church. We have been called into the kingdom of God, And all of a sudden, it's a whole brand new world that we're living in. All of a sudden, it's a brand new experience, and we don't feel qualified. We don't feel like we understand. We don't feel like we fit in a lot of times. And God help us. That's where the church needs to come in, and we need to lift up the new ones that come in, because they have a particular set of problems that they have to deal with. And not only new ones, but I have seen those that have lived for God or been in the church for a number of years that still have a lack of confidence in their heart and don't really feel like they measure up. I want to try to minister to that this morning. I really feel like the Lord gave this to me. Amen. All of a sudden, Paul got this call from God, and this clarion call from heaven to follow God, to do the will of God. And you know what? His religion didn't help him. And you know what? The world didn't help us either. Praise God. If you'll look back, the emptiness was there every day. The Lord spoke to Paul and said, "It is hard to kick against the pricks." His religion did not cover up the emptiness that was in him, and the drugs and the alcohol and all of that. There was the pricking of sin deep in the heart, and in Paul's case, it was covered up by synagogue rituals and ways that dealt with facts and figures and not with knowledge of spiritual things. Amen. It was covered up by you and I with all sorts of things, drugs, alcohol, relationships, whatever it is, money, and you could go down the list, and there are so many people that are striving for happiness and striving for confidence, but the more they get, the less confidence they have. Amen. And the prick of sin was so deep in Paul's heart, amen, that it was driving him to go even further and to condemn these new people that were coming along. You know, a lot of us, we don't fit in with change too well, and yet the Lord wants to change us. The Lord wants to mold us and to make us more and more into His image. And so what we have to get used to is that there will be changes in your life. There will be definite changes in your life when you give your life to God. And so it makes you feel like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what to do. But Paul said, this is what I have hanging over my head here. I've got to look at it the right way. And if we're to look at the magnitude of the responsibility and the magnitude of the wisdom that Paul said he was called to digress and to give out and to minister. And not only that, he was to minister about the things of God in the Word of God. But folks, it's a whole lot more than chapter and verse. It's a whole lot more than saying it's right here. You must be born again. You know, we need to be able to lead people to that experience. Praise God. We need to be able to quote the scripture, then Mark 16 and 16, 17 and 18, I believe it is. He said, "You will cast out devils." Well, we can quote that scripture, but what about when a devil comes along? What are we going to do with it? How are we going to handle this? What kind of response or experience? And that's where knowledge comes in. Paul had the wisdom, but he did not have the knowledge. And the spirits in this world were not associated with him, so to speak, except in a negative way. But then there was a time when the Spirit spoke out and they said, "Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you?" And so they had a gospel that Paul preaches They had the Word of God in their heart, but they did not have the spiritual experience or the spiritual knowledge that goes along with the Word of God. Amen. You talk about a lack of confidence here. That's why Paul said, I am the least of the least of the saints. I wonder how many of us this morning would be able to say that. I wonder how many of us this morning actually feel that way, that I am the least of the least of the saints. Well, I'm telling you, this man, this Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, who was loved and admired by tens and hundreds of thousands of people, who preached the gospel to all of Asia, he thought about the least of the least. And we don't measure ourselves among ourselves and say, well, you did this, but I did more. But we can measure ourselves and look about and say, who is the least of the least of the saints? And then put yourself below that individual and say, that's where I fit in. That's where I'm at. That's my place in the church. That's my place in the kingdom of God. I'll guarantee you there's a few, at least a few here this morning that feel that way. Amen. Because you know where you're coming from and you know what you've been through, and you know that if anybody were to criticize you or condemn you, or to say, this is what you used to be, and you're never going to measure up because of this, that, or the other. I'll tell you what, it's better for a millstone to be hanged about their neck and thrown into the sea if they would offend one of these little ones. I'm telling you, we need to be careful. We need to be very careful, because God did not give us the Word of God, which is a hammer, amen, that breaks the rocks in pieces, amen. God did not give us a hammer to hit other people with. God gave us that hammer to break the rock in our heart. He gave us that hammer to break the rock that's down inside of us. Amen. I've said it before, and I'll say it again this morning. I don't feel qualified to stand here and minister the Word of God. And I'll tell you today, we are living in a time and a generation, and it's always been this way. Paul said some preach for this, that, or the other, and he understood that there was things that happened in that realm. But the best ministry is the ministry that feels like the Apostle Paul. I am the least of the least of the saints. And if you feel that way today, don't let the devil beat you over the head and tell you, because of your position or because of the way you feel about yourself, that you cannot be used of God and that you cannot make it and you can't live for God. The devil will pile all of this stuff up in front of you, and he'll tell you, you got to do this and you got to do that, and you need to do this and you need to do that. When, you know what? The Bible says that there is the milk of the Word and there is the meat of the Word. And we don't feed the new ones with meat. It is not wise, and it is actually destructive. Amen. To lay upon young ones that come into the kingdom of God, and to lay upon the young people, amen, things that they're not ready to handle, they're not ready to receive, because they can get it in their mind, but they can't do it in their experience. Praise God. I looked over and I saw little Bren and Ray this morning, and we were just a-singing and praising the Lord, and he was looking at his hand, and he was playing with his feet, and just, you know, he was in his own little world. And we could sit him down, and we could give him a 12-lesson Bible study, and we could tell him exactly what he needs to do. And while we're telling him, he's going to be playing with his hands, and he's going to be playing with his feet. And when you get all done, he's going to go, I'm thirsty. And it's all going to be just right up here like this. Amen. And so what we've got to do is we've got to approach this thing of confidence when you feel like the least. Amen. And I know I'm ministering to somebody here this morning. And if you don't receive anything here this morning, I apologize for that. But you can just take it up with the Lord. Maybe this will help you somewhere down the road. But this magnitude of the responsibility here, the failures of the past will come along and they will support the idea and the notion that you're a loser. They will come along and they will support the idea that you're never going to measure up. They will come along and they will support the idea that you might as well just back off because it's not worth the effort. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the trouble. You know what? Because, you know, I don't have anything to offer. I have fallen short of the glory of God more than anybody else, and the devil will jump on you, and maybe others will come along. I had my brother remind me of some things that I did when I was in the world, and my son was standing there beside me, and I know my face turned red, and I was embarrassed, and I apologized to my son afterwards. God had already forgiven me of things like that way, way back, and I wasn't under condemnation, but I'm telling you what, the devil knows how to make you turn red in the face. The devil is a put down. Amen. The devil knows how to condemn and criticize. He doesn't have any understanding in his mind. All he has is accusations. And you got to be careful this morning when he comes along and accuses. If we were to look at the magnitude of the responsibility, I hope y'all are with me here this morning. If we're to look at the magnitude of the responsibility and the wisdom here that Paul wrote about, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the fellowship of the mystery, and all of this that was before the beginning of the world, I am now responsible for this. He just threw up his hands and he said, I'm the least of the least saints. I don't measure up to this. It would be like any of us here this morning, somebody called you from United Airlines and said, we need a pilot for our 747. It's getting ready to take off in an hour, and we don't have a pilot, and we need you to come and fill that position for us. Maybe you're the one that loads the bags in the bottom of the airplane, and they say, we need a pilot up here. You'll figure it out as you go, and we're just going to lay this responsibility upon you, and you fly it to wherever it needs to go, and we'll pay you accordingly. We'll give you a big reward. Well, I'll tell you this morning, it doesn't matter if they would offer to pay you $1 million at the end of that. You look at that job and that call that just came to you, and you look at it and say, I'm going to hurt a lot of people. This isn't going to work. I don't know what I'm doing. And you look at the panel that's before you and all these dials and gauges and switches and all of those kinds of things. And all of a sudden, you know, at first it might be, oh, that's cool. Let's do that. But then you go and you get in the cockpit, and all of a sudden it begins to be a gigantic thing that is in front of you. And I'll tell you what, the call of God has got to feel that way in your heart. If it's not, you're not going to make it. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm just not going to be able to do this. It's too big for me. It's too big for me. And yet the call of God is there. Amen. The call of God is before you. And you know enough. You know enough to know that if you don't follow the call of God, you're not going to make it to heaven. That if you don't give your life to God, you're not going to be saved. And so you've got that to deal with. And you've got forgiveness of God and the judgment of God. Amen. I'll tell you this morning, what we need is we need confidence. Amen. But these things that come along can take your confidence away from you. I know I'm not ministering to some of you this morning. You got all the confidence in the world, and you got it all figured out, but I don't have it all figured out here this morning. I don't have it all figured out here this morning. And so let's add to this. Can we add to this? Amen. Because things add up. And after a while, all these things that add up, you just feel totally overwhelmed by it. And Paul then says, not only is it the call to minister the Word of God, and this deep ministry of the Word of God, and this spiritual ministry of casting out devils and going to the third heaven and being used of God in the realm of the Spirit, now it's not only the call, but who I am called to minister to. He said, I am called to minister to the Gentiles. And what does that mean? That means that Paul is now completely out of his element. That he no longer has anything, no knowledge, no wisdom about it whatsoever. He is completely lost as to what to do. And you know what? When God called us to live for Him, oh my, I'll tell you what. Paul, when he was called to the Gentiles, he didn't understand anything about them. He didn't understand their language, their ebonics, as it were. He could not even relate to them because his whole life was sheltered in religious teaching and learning. He was dignified. Paul was dignified, and God called him to go to these wild people. He was a man that was respected in the community as a religious leader, and now he's called to the backside of the tracks. Amen. Now all of a sudden, he's dealing with people, and he's got to go teach a Bible study in their home and push the beer cans away so he can set up his Bible study chart. He's called to go to people's homes where while you're ministering to them and they know you're the pastor, they'll just cuss without even thinking twice about it. And those are the ones I want you to go to and minister to, Paul. They've never opened up a Bible. They don't know where Genesis is. They don't know where Malachi is. And they don't know anything about spiritual things. They're just an empty group that is lost, and they're wild. Amen. The Bible calls them the wild branch, and that's exactly who we are this morning. And sometimes that feeling of overwhelming, it's the opposite way. Amen. It's the opposite way with us because Paul could not relate to them because of his whole sheltered life, being schooled by the best of professors. He was a wise man in the law. He could have been a professor himself, and he was a Pharisee, which meant that he had gone up the ranks, and now he was in leadership. But now when God calls him, he has to abandon everything that he's learned, everything about his life, and he has got to go to the Gentiles. Can you get the picture this morning? You talk about a lack of confidence. He said, I am the least of the least of the saints. He didn't say, I am the least of the preachers. He said, I am the least of the saints. Praise God. And so, so there he was. There he was. Amen. And isn't it amazing that there was a time in Paul's ministry where he confronted the Apostle Peter? And he told them, he said, I am not behind you in one little bit. Now, where does a man get that kind of confidence? After he has made the statement that said, I am less than the least of the saints. I'll tell you how he did it. He did it by developing confidence. And that's what I want to try to help somebody this morning with, to develop the confidence that you need to live for God. And what you can just let go over your back, amen, and just go wherever it wants to go. And when the criticisms come and the condemnations come and all of those things come, you can stand with confidence and say, I know where I'm at and I know where I'm going, and it's not going to shake me. It's not going to turn me. I'm looking to the future with excitement. I'm looking to live for God, and not only just to live for God, but God has called me to do something, and bless your heart, I'm going to get it done with God's help. I'm telling you what, we need that kind of confidence today. We need that kind of feeling in our heart today, but it's got to start with the attitude that says, I'm the least of the least of the saints. I'm the least of the least of the saints. Amen. And so he was called to the Gentiles. You know what? We were schooled in the old way here. Some of us were schooled in the old way. The old way of, what to do when you get depressed. We'd go down to the bar room. We were schooled in that. We'd go down to Bob's Pool Hall. That's where I went, was Bob's Pool Hall. And we would belly up to the bar, and we'd order a beer, and learned how to do it before I was 18, and learned how to carry myself so they never asked for my identification. Would go into the dance halls, and you had to be 21 to go in there. And I learned how to act and all of that, so I could get in there when I was 17 and could figure out the ways of this world. And we were schooled in that, and we knew that. Now, you can look at me this morning like you're real holy, but I'm telling you what, some of us come from a long ways off. And we know what it's like, and we've been there, and we've done that. And yet we know what it's like when you come into the kingdom of God. We're not going to drink. We're not going to go to the bar. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And all of these kinds of things now are laid upon your life. And if you're not careful, amen, you'll go back to the wisdom that you had before you found the call of God in your life. Praise the Lord. And it can be overwhelming. I'm telling you this morning, it can be overwhelming. Well, just pray and talk in tongues and it'll be all right. No, that's not going to be enough. You got to have some understanding. It's got to go from wisdom to understanding. It's got to go from a place where you know what the Scripture says to where you are living the victorious life and you understand the dynamics of that, and you're not just kind of drifting along hoping and maybe so this is going to help. Amen. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. It's the power of God. But you know what? The Holy Ghost just doesn't give us power. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Well, truth is not just chapter and verse. Truth is, where am I at and where am I going to go and how am I going to get there? That's truth right there. And in order to get that truth, we need to hear preaching. In order to get that truth, we need to read the Word of God for ourselves. In order to get that truth, we may need counseling. Amen. Spiritual counseling. Amen. Where we can assess ourselves and look at the Word of God and know the next step to go and what to do. Amen. Praise God. Because if you're not careful, the enemy will come along and he'll steal your confidence. And he'll tell you, you're not the least of the least of the saints. You're not even qualified to darken the door of the church. That's what the devil will tell you. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, there's a whole lot more to it than that. And Paul called himself the least of the apostles and wasn't even qualified. He was not qualified to be measured up with the least of the least of the saints. He said, I'm less than that. I'm not even qualified to be the church janitor, if you please. I'm not even qualified to come into the house of God. I've got this thing hanging over my head. I've got this offense hanging over my head. I've got this this thing that I did that will never go away. It will be recorded in the Word of God. From now on, it's there. I can't hide it. I can't cover it up. It's there. And so why even bother? Why even try? I'm telling you, Paul was a smart man. He was a wise man. God gave him revelation, and those revelations led him to that spiritual side of things where he could cast out devils. Amen. The Bible says because of his revelation, the multitude of his revelations, and you look at it, Paul does not describe a single vision that he had where angels with six wings and covered with eyes flying in heaven. He didn't see anything like the Apostle John. And if he did see it, the Bible says that it was told to him not to repeat this. Amen. But he was given revelation. And the revelation that he was given was ministry to the churches. Well, praise the Lord. He was given ministry to the saints of God. He was less than the least of the saints, and God called him to minister to the saints. And he ministered to the ministers as well, but most of it was to the saints. And he gave them things in your epistles, in your Bible, that will help you to gain confidence in your walk with God. And so where did Paul get this confidence? Amen. How could he say in our text scripture this morning, how could he say in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him? Where did he get that confidence? Amen. Where did he get it? And how did it come to him? And I believe the answer is in the first part of our reading here this morning. And if you'll look at it here, unto me who am the least of the all saints, is this grace given to me. Praise God. Or is this grace given? Everybody said grace. Grace. You've got to ponder the grace of God, folks. Amen. You've got to ponder the grace of God. And you've got to get to an understanding of the tremendous love that God has for you. If you want confidence in your walk with God, you cannot look at yourself. Amen. Because the meat of your call, the essence of your call today is not the call. It is the caller. It's not the call. It's the caller. Well, come on, somebody. It's not what I'm supposed to do, but it's the one that's told me what I'm supposed to do. And so, thank God, he doesn't give us a call to serve him and live a holy life and to be an overcomer. And then after he calls us, he just kind of says, well, now you're on your own. Stand up. Do right. Fly right. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. If you don't, there's something wrong with your attitude and your spirit. And if you'll just change your attitude, then everything will be all right. Sometimes that's the truth, but I'll tell you what, folks, we've all dealt with those things in our lives. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the help of God, we'd have never made it through some things. Well, praise the Lord. I'm preaching the truth here this morning. And it's the call, not the caller. I'm sorry, it's not the call, it's the caller. I don't want to get you confused now. Amen. But in essence, it's not my ability, but it's God's ability through me. Amen. He can take a man that's possessed with 2,000 devils and turn him into a preacher. Well, praise the Lord. He will, he can, and he has. Praise God. And you know what? I don't think there's anybody here this morning that's had 2,000 devils in them. Maybe you've been accused of that. I don't know. 100 maybe, 75, 50, 5 or 6, amen. Mary Magdalene, Jesus cast out 7 devils, amen. Peter, who denied him 3 times. Aren't you thankful for grace this morning? Oh, yeah, there's repentance and all of that. But you know what? I'm telling you, there are so many, many times that God has held me up when I didn't deserve it. Praise God. That God helped me through situations that I created for myself. I know that's just me. Y'all are perfect here this morning, and you've never had that situation that you've had to deal with in your life. And you got it all figured out. But I'll tell you, there's a few of us here this morning that don't have it figured out. We've realized that we need God. Amen. We need confidence. Not pride, but confidence. Amen. A confidence that makes you walk softly. Praise God. A confidence that that makes you walk in humility and submission and love and kindness. Praise God. But I'm telling you, the devil, he will turn that around on you, and he'll tell you you don't need to be kind to that person because they don't measure up. They don't measure up to my standard. They have fallen short in this area. And so, you need to criticize or you need to condemn. I'll tell you what, this thing of criticism and condemnation, can I just be honest with you here this morning? Can I be open with you here this morning? There is a spirit of holiness that is in our land today that gives you liberty to condemn and criticize and castigate and cast away people. I'm telling you this morning, God does not do that. God doesn't do that. And holiness, follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow peace with all men. Amen. You might just look to your left and to your right this morning and look to the front and to the back of you this morning. I know some of you aren't going to do it because you don't even want to look at some people. I'm telling you this morning, follow peace with all men. That's the first commandment. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's the truth anyhow. You know what God can do? God can turn a sinner into a saint. Amen. How about that? Praise God. God does that. He turns a sinner. A sinner! Oh, but there's some, he's eating with sinners. You can't do that. You can't go that direction. You can't associate with those people because they're sinners. They're not measuring up. They're not toeing the line. They're not following the scriptures that we understand. And so we have to cast them aside. Oh, somebody told me one time here just recently, he said, yeah, there's some folks that have drawn a circle of fellowship in their life, and the circle that they drew was small enough that it kept me out. And he said, you know what I do when people do that? He said, I just draw a bigger circle that includes me and them both. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm sure that you gave your life to God this morning, or when you gave your life to God, because the Lord gave you a vision of hell, and he stood above there with a big billy club, and he said, if you don't give your life to God, I'm going to kill you right now. Amen. Anybody have that kind of a vision when you gave your life to God? I didn't, and I'm seeing a lot of folks shaking their head, no, you didn't either. You know what it was that attracted us to God? It was his love and his kindness. It was his grace. Paul said, I've got confidence now because God is for me. I didn't realize that at first. I didn't understand at first that God loved me so much that he could take me from where I am to where I need to be. Praise God. And that's at the speed that God's helping me, and that's the speed that God is helping you. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us not to judge one another, because you don't know what your brother or your sister is going through. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the things that they're battling in their mind because they're not telling anybody. You come to church and you sit on the pew and you feel worthless. Well, praise the Lord. And then after a while, you don't want to come to church because everybody else is perfect. And I'm not perfect. And I can't make it because I've got this, that, and the other that I'm struggling with. I'm sure Brother So-and-so doesn't struggle with these things. Wish I could worship like him. I'm sure Sister So-and-so doesn't struggle with these things. I'm sure that they've got the victory. If I could just be like them. No, you're missing the whole point this morning. Confidence doesn't come by measuring up to somebody else. It doesn't come by measuring up to somebody else. Amen. It comes to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when you look to Him and you go to Him, I don't know, maybe I'm missing it completely with some of you. I knew I wouldn't get everybody here this morning. But how many of you today, you don't have to raise your hand, and you actually sinned after you gave your life to God? Now, I know you probably haven't, and you've been perfect, and everything has just been awesome, and you can't think back of anything that you did that displeased God. Well, God bless you, and we'll give you a smiley face sticker. But the rest of us this morning, the rest of us are having struggles. And the rest of us, amen, when we sinned, and we fell away, and we went to God in prayer, and we walked up softly to the presence of God, or into our prayer room, and we said, God, I did this, this, and this. I'm so sorry. I wonder if God said, well, we'll think about it in a few months. Let me think about this and see if you're really serious about your repentance. Let me just measure this out and find out if this is really the truth. Oh, God, help us here this morning. I don't know about you, but when I've gone to God in prayer, it was immediate. Immediate that the presence of God came over me. Folks, that's not a license to sin. The grace of God is not a license to sin. We cannot go that direction. And Paul said that in Romans chapter 6. You don't have to turn there this morning. But he said, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. We've got to live right. We've got to do what's right. But at the same time, we're living in this body of our flesh. Praise God. You know what God does? God takes things that are accounted as nothing. I'm going to read it to you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Amen. You know what? I'm not going to be offensive here this morning, but there's not many, very many wise among us here this morning. And there's not very many mighty, and there's not very many noble. Praise God. If God were to open up our spiritual heart, we would all be in horror as to what we would see in there. Right now, this morning, in this service, there are things that are in there that God is not pleased with. Amen. But what does God do? God goes, and what's His calling? Who's His calling to? I hope you're with me here this morning. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Everybody said the foolish things. Foolish. And they're there to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak. Everybody said the weak. The weak. The foolish and the weak. That's what we were before we came to God. Foolish and weak. And even after we come to God, I'm sure there are some here this morning and you feel weak. You don't feel strong enough to be able to do this. You don't feel confident enough to be able to say, I'm going to do the will of God in my life. But He has chosen the weak things to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world. Everybody said base things. Like murderers. like a man that murdered Christians. The base things. How could anybody go to that level? How could anybody do that? How could anybody even think those things? There's something basically wrong with that person. And we write them off. And we say there's no good there. And God can't do anything there. But I'm reading the scriptures to you here this morning. I'm reading the Word of God to you here this morning. And I hope that you have ears to hear. Amen. Because it'll bless you and it'll help you. Base things of the world, things which are despised. They are despised. Be careful this morning that you don't despise some people. Because it might just be, amen, it might just be that those are the ones that are going to go to heaven and you're not going to get to go. Jesus said to the religious people of his day, these are Jews, one God Jews. He said to those people of his day, he said the publicans and the prostitutes are going to heaven before you. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling you this morning, they're not going to go to heaven as a prostitute. And they're not going to heaven as a tax collector stealing from people. That's not going to go to heaven. There's some things that are not going to heaven. But I'm telling you here this morning that we need to be careful and we need to understand that the grace of God, Paul developed his confidence because he understood the grace of God. You know what this morning? I just want to encourage somebody. You can make it. Come on, help me somebody. Those of you that have got the confidence, just say amen once in a while. Amen. I'm telling you, you can make it. And not only can you make it, you can do the will of God and be mightily used of God. Well, praise the Lord. And you can have the victory. And that doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. And it doesn't mean that everything's going to get fixed in your life that you brought with you when you came to God. But I'm telling you, you can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. If you'll understand the grace of God. I'm not measuring my walk with God by anybody that's sitting beside me, behind me, or in front of me. I'm measuring my walk with God by the Word of God and by the man of God. By the preaching of the Word and by the Holy Ghost that's in me. Praise God. I'm telling you today, if you'll look at God, if you'll look at the grace of God, you're going to make it. Amen. But if you measure yourself among yourselves, Paul said, it is not wise. Amen. It is not wise. And he says, things that are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That means we can never get to the place where we say, I have arrived. And you know what Paul said? I have not arrived. He said, I die daily. You know what that means? That means his flesh rose up every single day. That past rose up in front of him every single day and said, come on, let's go back to the synagogue. You'll be accepted by those people. You'll feel comfortable among those people. You won't have to struggle with these things of lack of confidence. You won't have to struggle and wrestle with these things in your heart. Just go on back. Show up at Bob's Pool Hall. And everybody will say, man, we've been missing you around here. Here, I'm going to buy you one on the house. And they're going to accept you back with open arms. And it won't be hard. You can just go right on back. But I'm telling you this morning, that's not the will of God for your life. That's not the plan and the purpose of God. The purpose and the plan of God is I've got confidence. And not just confidence, I've got boldness. I've got to the place where when the devil shows up, I can say with boldness, get behind me, Satan. And Satan will get behind you. It'll actually happen. Praise God. It'll work. It'll work because God is with us when we understand grace, when we understand the grace of God. Confidence when you feel like the least. Praise God. It's not about my past in myself, but in my future in God Almighty. You know what? God knows everything. Amen. And when God called you, who called you? Oh, well, somebody called me on the phone, invited me to church, and all of this. We were working with a young couple. I forget their names now. We were teaching them Bible study, and another church got a hold of them. Not an apostolic church, but they got a hold of them, and they grabbed them, and they began to schedule their days for them. And they said, on this morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to be at the church for Bible study. And then after that, somebody's going to be appointed to you to help you along. And every single day, they managed their life and told them what they were going to do and so forth to bring them into their church and to acclimate them to this new life and all of that sort of thing. And the calling was not of God, it was of man. And if you got to be motivated every step of the way by somebody telling you what to do, and by that sort of leadership in your life, you know what? I'm telling you, you're not going to make it, and you won't do it for the right reason. Amen. Praise God. It's not about my past. It's about my future in God. Praise the Lord. And when He called you, He promised that He would help you to make it all the way. So what we need is an understanding this morning of grace. Praise God. I just want to tell somebody today, I'm getting ready to finish here this morning. I just want to tell somebody today what you need to do is you need to get out from under the load of false condemnation. Amen. When you were baptized in Jesus' name, all of your sins were washed away. And if somebody comes along digging through the baptistry and they say, "Ooh, look what I found. Look what came off of you when you got washed." And they read the sentence and they bring back up all of those things of the past. Amen. Don't let that condemn your heart, because that's false condemnation. If you've sinned, go to God in repentance. He said He's faithful and just to forgive us. Right? Amen. But some of us are not faithful and just to forgive one another. And the Bible says forgive one another and love one another. Right. I'm talking to the church here this morning. Right. Praise God. Not the will of God. Not the will of God that we put condemnation on one another. But what we need to do is stand up and consider grace. And if you want to write this down, I come up with a few things that I want to finish with here this morning. Praise the Lord. Not shouting, and it's not camp meeting time here this morning, but this will help you live for God. I thought about it, and I wrote down about five things that will help you in this area of confidence. First of all, number one, you got to look at your calling and how it lifted you up to receive the blessings of God. You got to look back at your calling. You got to look back at the night you got baptized and what happened when you were baptized. For me, I was smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. I had tried multiple times to quit. I could not quit. It had gotten a hold of my life. I think it was probably a familiar spirit. My dad smoked four packs of cigarettes a day until he died. And I just followed into that situation. But I remember the night that I got baptized, I take you to the place. When I came out of the water, God delivered me completely of cigarettes. From that day till this day, that was 1974, and I don't know how many years it's getting close to 50 years now. I have never had a single, not one more desire for a cigarette. I forgot what it was like to hold one in my hand. In the past, I would eat a meal, had to have a cigarette after the meal because it just was the way it was. I forgot all about that. It was total, complete deliverance. So you know what? When things started coming along in my life, and when things come along in your life, what you need to do is go back to when God saved you and what God did for you when you were a sinner. If God will do that for a sinner, what will He do for a saint? Praise the Lord. He'll do that and more. Amen. Because it's His good pleasure to give His children good things. So, number one, look at your calling, how it lifted you up to receive the blessings of God. And go back to that and believe that God's going to do that in this situation as well. Number two, stop looking at your shortcomings and the things that are against you. Amen. All right, I want to say that again. Stop looking at your shortcomings and the things that are against you. Praise God. Those will not aid you in confidence, but they have a way of magnifying themselves and making themselves into something that's bigger than what it really is. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know you're about ready for me to finish, but I'm going to finish here. Number three, never look back to where you came from. Amen. Praise God. You could use Lot's wife as an example this morning. Don't look back to where you came from. Don't start playing those old songs that you used to sing on the radio. Amen. Don't get rid of those old CDs, 8-tracks. Cassette tapes, DVDs, amen. I don't want them anymore. We had Smoke on the Water, and we'd play that in that my brother's Mustang on that 8-track. I don't want to go back to that. I'm going to get rid of the past. Amen. God got rid of it in baptism, didn't He? He got rid of it for us in when we were born again of the water and the Spirit. Why are we letting it hang around our house? Why are we listening to that stuff? All it'll do is remind you, and it will never remind you, on a side note here, it'll never remind you of the bad things that happened. It'll always remind you of the good things that happened. And you'll say, you know what, maybe it really wasn't so bad. Maybe. No, just forget about all that. That's why God saved you, because you were lost. Amen. Never look back to where you came from. Number four, look to Jesus. That means looking forward to the author and the finisher of your faith. So what you got to get an understanding of is that God authored your faith. He wrote out the plan ahead of time, and not only did He write it out, He's going to finish it. He's going to finish the plan. Praise God. Praise God. If you ever read a Louis L'Amour, you'll find that they get themselves into some pretty bad situations. Pretty bad situations. I can tell Marlon's probably read a Louis L'Amour. And Jubal Sackett got himself up on a mountainside, and enemy Apaches were everywhere around him. He was outnumbered 100-1. And he only had 5 bullets in his gun. And everything was going wrong. But when it was all said and done, he walked out of there victorious. You know how he did that? Because the author wrote it that way. Amen. That's the only reason he made it out of that mess that he was in. The author wrote it that way. If the author would have written on there, the enemies overcame him and he was killed right there. Well, the author wrote it that way, and so that's the way it's going to be. Amen. Jesus is the author of our faith, and I doubt very seriously. I'm not even doubting. I've got confidence this morning. He didn't write that into the story of your life. But if you want to change the story in the book, you can write in there, "I'm about to be destroyed." And you can write that in there, and it'll probably take place the way you write it. Amen. But I want it to happen the way he wrote it for me. And you say, well, how do I know what he wrote? How do I know what the story is for me? It's right here. He's already written it to us. And he's not going to change the story. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Finally, number five, keep track of your victories and remind yourself of them. Praise God. Keep track of your victories. Write them down and go back to them. Write them down in your mind if that's the way you want to do it. And when things get tough, go back to the day you got baptized. When things are getting hard, go back to the times that you had a real struggle and God brought you through. Or the time that God just gave you something that you didn't even deserve. And there it was, the blessings of God in your life. Praise the Lord. He's not stopping those things. He's not going to quit in the middle of the story. He's not going to say, well, I've changed my mind now and you're no good. You're out of here. Folks, people will do that to you, but God will not do that to you. God will not do that to you. And what it'll do is it'll help to build your confidence. Amen. Somebody said amen. Amen. You'll begin to experience confidence and boldness that devils will run from and heaven will smile upon. Well, praise God. You know what? You can do it with Him. Did you hear me this morning? You can do it with Him. It's going to be all right. Praise God. It's going to be all right. You'll be able to say, get behind me, Satan, and Satan will get behind you. You'll be able to pray, and God will answer your prayers. In fact, I'll tell you right now, you're in the place where you can do it right now if you'll just go to God with these basic truths in the Word here that are so important. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Let's stand together this morning. I just need, if you just want to come up on it, that's all right. I don't need a whole accompaniment here this morning. Praise God. God's been good to me. Paul said, I'm telling you, I'm just opening my heart up to you today. He said, I am the least of the least. I am less than the least of the saints. But I've got a call on my life. God spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do with your life. And I feel so overwhelmed and I feel so unqualified. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the reputation. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have the other, I don't have anything figured out, but I do know one thing. I've come to the place where I have boldness, and I know that I have access. I know that God will hear me if I go to Him in prayer, and I have confidence. Amen. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise. Come on, let's just pray together right now. We need God. My friend, you need God. You need God. You need the help of God. You need the touch of God. Without God, you can't make it. Without God in your life, you cannot make it. I need you this morning, Jesus. I need you. I need your word. I need your plan. I need your victory in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you come this morning if this has touched your heart today? And just stand before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm leaning on your grace this morning, the favor of God, the smile of God, the victory of God. I need your grace this morning. Put your confidence in me. Put your confidence in me, God. Help me to know in my spirit and in my heart, in every part of me, that it's going to be all right, that you're with me. Go ahead and just talk to God this morning. He loves you so much. He cares about your life so much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. Some of us don't feel worthy of this. Others feel like they got it all figured out, but I'm telling you what. Paul didn't have it figured out, and if he didn't, I surely don't. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus this morning. That's it. Come on, let's just talk to God for a moment this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You're my strength, you're my help. You're my strength, you're my help. Oh God, you're worthy of my service. I give my life to you. I give my life to you, Lord. And when you stumble and fall, just get back up again, and He'll be there to let you know that He's going to be with you, and it'll produce more and more and more confidence in your heart, in your life, in your spirit. Praise God. Praise God.